Well, I just want to open up our service with a message from Matthew 22, 37. Jesus says, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." Now, as we think about what it is to love Him with all of our being, all of our heart, our mind, and our soul, when you're in that kind of a love, it's like a constant worship and a constant honor. Like your desire is to honor and to praise our God and to worship Him. And as we gather this morning, you know, I just want us to keep that in our hearts, to fill our hearts with that love for Him. So as we worship, it's not a struggle. You don't have to try to not be distracted. You don't have to try to worship Him. That worship just flows out of your heart. So as we gather this morning, if we can stand to our feet, we'll get the opportunity to honor and worship and praise our God, and just to show our love to Him. So God, we just thank You so much for this morning, Lord. We thank You that You love us first, that Your love draws us to You, and God, we just return what was given to us as that love. We just thank You so much, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name.
Worthy is the Lamb. worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Yeah, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Yeah, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen.
Just declare that. Worthy is the Lamb.
Yeah, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy,
worthy.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. And all the saints and angels their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing.
All the saints.
Yeah, all the saints and angels bow before your throne. And all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing. You're worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. The glory and all the saints and angels bow before your throne as all the elders cast their crown before the things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night. rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. It all. From you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
All glory is yours, Lord.
stand,
and I have seen,
and I have seen,
I've tasted,
I have tasted
of your majesty,
of your majesty, more than enough for me. More than enough for me. Enough for me. More than enough for me. You're more real than the wind in my lungs. Your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You're my reality. My reality, Lord,
you're more real.
You're more real than the ground I'm standing on. You're more real than wind in my love.
Your thoughts.
Your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You're my reality.
There's none like Jesus.
Abba, I belong to you. Yeah, Abba, I belong to you.
Closer than.
You're closer than the skin on my bone. Yeah. Closer than the song on my tongue.
Sing closer than again.
Closer than the skin on my bone. Closer than the song on my tongue.
Your thoughts.
Your thoughts define me. You're inside. belong to you. The blood of Jesus paved the way, way for me to enter in as a son of the King of Kings.
Yeah. You're my life, you're my breath, you're the one I'm clinging on to. You're my life, you're my breath, you're the one I'm clinging on to. You're the one, breathe your life into my lungs. You're the one that causes my heart to beat for you. You're the one that causes my voice to lift in praise. You're the one that draws me to the depths of you. Yes, you're the one.
Yes, you're the one.
Yes, you're the one. Yes, you're the one. Yes, you're the one. I just think about how many things in my life God's the only one that could have accomplished it. I think we all have those testimonies hiding within us. And sometimes the problem is they're hiding. So as we just keep pondering how God is the only one, let Him stir up in you those testimonies of how He's the only one that could have changed you. You're breaking hard hearts. You're breaking broken hearts. You're breaking all the chains. You're breaking hard hearts. You're healing broken hearts. You're breaking all the chains. You're breaking hard hearts. You're healing broken hearts. You're breaking all the chains. You're breaking hard hearts. You're healing broken hearts. You're breaking every chain. You are the one.
One for me.
declare that you're the only one for me.
Yes.
I declare that you're the only one for me.
Keep it up.
I declare that you're the only one for me.
Yeah.
I declare that you're the only one for me. You are the one, you are the only one. You are the one, you are the only one. You are the one, you are the only.
You're the one.
You are the one. You are the only one.
Let your glory shine. Let your glory shine. So let your glory shine through my life.
Yes.
So let your glory shine. So let your glory shine. So let your glory shine through my life. But Christ who lives in
yeah.
me. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Yes, it's Christ who lives in me.
No longer.
No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He lives.
Let your glory shine.
Let your glory shine. Your glory shine. Let your glory shine through my
yesterday. Sorry, I'm super nervous and my heart's pounding. So David and I went to Fred Meyer to get groceries, and we walk up to the line, and I always look at the tabloids about the Kardashians. So I see the I see the magazine and it says Kourtney Kardashian and Scott, blah, blah, blah. So I pick it up and I start looking at it and I'm like, I feel God's presence and just this major, major, like something was stirring inside me. And I'm like, God, why do you want me to pray for Kourtney Kardashian? Like, what's going on? So I just was looking at it and I just started praying in tongues. And as I'm praying in tongues, I'm thinking, why am I praying for Kourtney Kardashian? What is going on, Lord? And as I'm praying in tongues, David is talking to the cashier and he starts talking about how happy he is that all 50 states have now legalized gay marriage. And my heart just sank and I realized I wasn't praying for Kourtney Kardashian. I was praying for that young boy who was rejoicing in this sin, in this evil act that is not of God. And so my heart has just been heavy all day yesterday and especially this morning in church. And David and I didn't say anything. He kept saying, oh, I'm so excited. I'm so happy about this, you know, and we just stayed silent and I didn't know what to say. And in my heart, I was so saddened. And David and I left and we were talking and I was just like, I wish we had stood up and said something, at least said that's not the way God designed marriage. You know, we don't have to say anything hateful, church. We don't have to say anything that's, you know, evil, or we just have to proclaim God's truth is that God designed marriage for a man and a woman. And our country is in serious trouble now that all 50 states have legalized gay marriage. And this is just one more step towards just all of the evil predictions that are in the Bible, that the evil stuff is going to happen. And I'm not really sure about all of it, but I just know that I was deeply, deeply saddened for our country and our people and all the people who don't know the truth, who don't realize what that means for our country and what that means for those individuals. So I just pray that we can all stand up and have the courage, because now that this has happened, it's going to come up, you guys. It's going to come up. And I just pray that I am not silent next time, that I will say something and stand up for God and what He is, the love that He is, yes, and the holy purity that God is, and the way that God designed marriage. So I just pray for you guys, Lord, that we can, and that we can all stand up and have the courage to speak what you believe, what you have taught us, God, that you, we were just singing in this song, Lord, that you are inside of us, Jesus. So I just pray that, Holy Spirit, you will give us the words, that you will give, yes, us the reaction and the words to speak to your world, to your people, God, that we will be the light in this world and that we will no longer be silent and that we can stand up for you, God, that we can be the example for you.
Amen.
We give you glory for this time, God. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
All my love.
And all my love.
draw near to you.
Pull on.
Pull on the strings of my heart, for I long to respond to you.
All my love.
And all my love is for you. And all my love is yours.
All my love.
And all my love is for you. And all my love is yours. And all my love is for you. And all my love is yours. And all my love is for you. And all my love is yours.
I made
a place for you here. So come on, come on.
All things.
All things are possible here. So come on, come on.
I made
a place for you here. So come on, come on.
All things.
All things are possible here. So come on, come on.
Draw near.
Draw near to me, for I have drawn near to you. Pull on the strings of my heart, for I long to respond to you. Draw for evil, you turn it for our good. Even what the enemy meant for evil, you turn it for our good. Even what the enemy meant for evil, you turn it for our good. Yes, even what the enemy meant for evil, you turn it for our good. 'Cause you're a good father. Yes, you're a good father. 'Cause you're a good father. Yes, you're a good father. So won't you teach us to grow? Teach us to grow into our call. Taken us back, redeemed us from our fall. You don't look at all the stains, 'cause you washed us white as snow. Holy Spirit, come. Fill me up to overflow. Yes, you're a good father. Yes, you're a good father. Yes, you're a good father. It's who you are. Yes, you're a good father. Yes, you're a good father. Yes, you're a good father. It's who you are. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways.
Perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
Perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. It's who I am. We're a good, good vibe. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am.
We're going to have the Villalobos family come up. They had a loss in their family. It was their family pet. However, it was something that shouldn't have happened. And I don't know about you, but my dog is my family. And my heart hurts because your guys hurts. So we're just going to ask that the Lord surrounds them and surrounds the kids and touches their heart and just shields them and embraces them in the love. So stretch your hand out to them right now. Father God, we just come to you right now, Lord. God, and we thank you that you're so gracious, Father God, and we thank you that you're so loving, Father God. Lord, I pray that you will just pick up their hearts, Father God, and wrap your arms around them, Lord, and just embrace them, Father God, as they go through this tough time, Father God. Let them know that you are there, Father God, and that your healing touch can touch their hearts, Father God. Comfort them in their time of need, Lord. In your name, Father God, amen. If I could just have everybody stand up for me. And kind of in response to what Tanya was talking about. You know, there's not a lot that we can do in the natural. It is what it is. But there is something that we can do in the spiritual. And we can take the fight to the enemy in the spiritual. Because all he can do is control the natural in sense. But we can take the fight in the spiritual. And I'm going to, as we're just going to play some music. And I want you to just pray out pray for this, for the spirit of our country. Pray for the spiritual environment of our city. And I just want to lift our hands right now, Father God. God, I thank you, Father God, that you reign superior, Father God, that nothing that happens, Father God, in the natural, Father God, can overcome what you did, Father God, on the cross so many years ago, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you reign, that you're in charge, that the things that you say go, Father God, that no matter what happens to the natural life, Father God, you reign superior, Father God. God, that in the spirit, Father God, you reign victorious, Father God. Enemy, we come against you right now. Nothing that you say can or will be held against us because we have the almighty power of God on our side. Jesus, we just thank you, Father God, for what you did, that you crushed the head of the enemy, Father God, and that it has continued to be crushed right now, Father God. We thank you that we stand on your word and your word alone, Lord. God, we thank you that you are so powerful, Father God. God, we thank you, Father God, for your love, Father God. We thank you for your peace, Father God. And we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts right now, Father God. God, I pray that your spirit will truly rest on every single one of us, Father God. God, that we will respond with the love of Christ, Father God. God, that we will respond with your arms, Father God, and your heart, your eyes, Father God. And if there's any of us, Father God, that are confused, Father God, I just pray right now, Lord, because I'm a little confused. Father God, I pray that you will just take my mind out, Father God, and implant your heart, Father God. Your name, amen and amen. Give it up for the worship team. That was good. How's everybody doing? Surviving the heat? If you don't have air conditioning in your house, raise your hand. In your house? My Lord. There's a big yellow refrigerator you can go get in downstairs if you'd really like to. Everybody doing good? Yeah? Alec, how you doing? Even when it's 110 degrees out, Alec is still rocking the beanie. That's just dedication right there. That's awesome. I wish I could pull a beanie off as well as he can, because I can't. But anyhow, if we could have the kids come up. Run, don't walk. I'm just kidding. What's up, dude? How's your nose feeling? Good? Were you trying to be like your big brother or what? No? All right. Huh? Oh, okay. Well, I think he did too, didn't he? Oh, all right. Lord, we just pray for these kids, Father God. We pray that you will touch their heart, Lord, Father God. I pray that you will open their ears, Father God, to your word. Lord, I pray that they will just come to know you in a deeper and intimate way, Father God. More intimate, and Father God, I pray that they will take this summer, Father God, to have fun, Lord God, and to learn something new about you, Father God. In your name, amen. Run, don't walk. I know. So we got one announcement, right? One announcement. Next week. What's next week? What's 2 weeks? Oh, yeah. 2 weeks. So that's not the 5th, but the 12th or the 11th? 12th. We're going to have our annual financial recap. So we're going to have it over there in room 107. You're welcome to join. We're going to have it right after service. So we're just going to go through basically what it is, financial stuff. We'll go through the checkbook. So if you'd like to join, if you'd like to know where the funds are going, what's happening with all of that, that'll happen right over there. Pastor Mike will be presenting, and we'll get that knocked out of the way. And then we didn't pick a date for it, did we? Yonder, outside? The 19th, when it's 150 degrees outside. It's going to be nice. Prophetic words right there. We're going to have church outside. So we're going to have fun. We're not going to have, it's going to be different. We're just going to do some carnival stuff for the kids, have some face painting, some water toys. Josh is going to freeze some water balloons and we're going to throw them at you. We're just going to have a good time and just be outside. So come in picnic attire, shorts, shirts, long sleeves, sweatpants, whatever you want to wear. Beanie, rocket, it's all good. Also, we are looking for a new nursery supervisor. So if anybody feels that calling or wants to do that, then let Pastor Mike or Pastor Galen know, and we'll go from there. So without further ado, a big round of applause. I'm not preaching. Yeah, you got the real mic. Mike.
Well, praise the Lord. Good morning. It's warm up on this stage, so I think I'm going to go down just like an extra 5 degrees. I'm not kidding. It is like an extra 5 degrees up there, isn't it? Yeah, look at Belle. It's like cooking. That's awesome worship. Did everybody like enjoy worship? Or was it just like us three up there just like having a great time? Did you enjoy worship? Okay, good. Two of you. Great. Praise the Lord. It's okay. Well, I'm going to share about a scripture that has been on my reminders for almost 3 months now, and I keep saying, okay, Lord, when am I going to share about this, or am I going to share about this, or is this just for me? And, just because you look at a scripture, you memorize a scripture, I quote it when it comes up, doesn't necessarily mean you get it all. And so if necessary, if you feel like the Lord's giving you something for this as I'm sharing, or at the close of sharing, or if I pause for a moment, please, let's get the reality and the truth out of this scripture. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles, I'll try not to go too long because it's really hot out there. So 1 Peter 4:1. So we have Peter the Apostle communicating to the churches, and he says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Let's try another translation here. I've read it with different translations. This is the New Living Translation. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. That's interesting translation. Here's the Bible in basic English. So that as Jesus was put to death in the flesh, do you yourselves be of the same mind. For the death of the flesh puts an end to sin. Let's look at another one here. How about Young's literal translation? Christ then, having suffered for us in the flesh, ye also with the same mind arm yourselves, because he who did suffer in the flesh has done with sin. So, I've got some more scriptures, but start off with this. So, again, many years ago, I probably would have read that and thought, okay, so how can I suffer in the flesh so I can be done with sin? What can I do to buffet my body, in some circles, and I think even still today, there's some individuals who believe that if you cause your body to have suffering, that it helps you not to sin. So they would put themselves in situations with where they would endure pain, and pretty much you'd call it self-induced. Sometimes You know, I think monks would sometimes whip their backs, and it was all a part of being able to suffer for Christ, or suffer to the place where their sin is eliminated or ending. And I think that's the wrong way to think about this. Because, you know, how many of you have suffered some things in the flesh? We all have, right? And have we ceased from sinning? How much suffering in the flesh do you think it would take to truly cease from sinning? Would it take literally for us to go to a cross ourselves and die on it? Well, that would probably cease from sinning because we're going to be dead, right? But I mean, if we just give everything that we have to the kingdom of God, and we just focus totally on that, and we put ourselves in harm's way and suffer persecution and you know, all the things that Paul did, maybe that would make us cease from sinning, right? So it's really a double-edged sword. How much suffering does it take to finally stop sinning? How much suffering do we have to endure to stop sinning? I don't think we can. I don't think there's not one bit of ultimate suffering that we could go through ourselves that would stop us from sinning. You know why? Because Christ did it. Christ suffered for us. It says that. Christ suffered for us. So if someone's already suffered for you, then why do we want to suffer? Right? If somebody's already taken the punishment, taken the heat, so to speak, no pun intended, but maybe so. I sometimes do Freudian slip, you know, puns without even thinking about it. But he took what we deserved. That suffering that he endured, and it wasn't just the cross. It was everything the anguish that he had to go through, knowing that he was going through the cross, knowing that the cross was his final destination here on this earth, and that would be the ultimate price that he would pay for you and me. That suffering was enough. So then when it says arm yourselves, you know, fortify yourselves, make it so that you're strengthened with what I'm saying, with what Jesus did for you. Jesus suffered for you. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the suffering's done. It's finished. The suffering is finished. Has Jesus suffered enough for our sins to cease? So what's left for us? Keeping in mind, keeping in our hearts, keeping in our being, reminding ourselves, rehearsing it, meditating on it, you know, whatever it takes, writing it down, that Christ suffered and it's done. It is a finished work. I can't remember who I was talking with this week. Maybe it was Jesse. We talk at different times. But that this is a finished work. That the only thing that's being worked out is the manifestation of the finished work. But it is complete. We are complete in Christ. Okay, let's go to another verse because I'm getting those blank stares again. I'm getting no amens and blank stares. That's not a good sign. Not even from my wife. She's the amens. So it's like, oh man, it must really be hot in here. Because I'm going to blame the heat. Okay, so if we go to Galatians 2:20. Galatians is in the Bible, by the way, in the New Testament. So Galatians 2:20, for I have been crucified with Christ. Let's say that together. For I have been crucified with Christ. Oh my goodness. Can we say it like we mean it? For I have been crucified with Christ. That sounded a little better. And then it says, it is no longer I who live. Well, thank you. One more time. It is no longer I who live. It is no longer I who live. Thank you, Glenn. Is it that hot in here? Okay. It is no longer I who live.
It is no longer I who live.
There we go. Thank you. So I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Now, some would say, well, that's Paul speaking, Pastor Mike. That's not me. You should see my closet. You should see the things that I do. But those are a wrong reflection of who you are. Those are a mirage, so to speak. The reality is that you have been crucified with Christ. The reality is that he has suffered enough for you. The reality is that there is nothing else for you to do other than receive the reality of being crucified with Christ and engage and live out that reality that you've been crucified with Christ. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, there's a finished, or there's a finishedness, or we're a finished product. Some of us look at us in the mirror. Now, I know, David, you guys just had some finished work done in your living room, and it still needs to be a little finished, right? Tanya's probably says, it's not finished, Pastor Mike. If David tries to pass that off, that's not going to fly. I mean, it's got a good start, right? Yeah. But the point being is that if we were to look at that piece of work in 2 weeks, I'm putting on it, yeah, right. In 2 weeks, we would see something different, right? So in a way, it is finished. In your heart, you have purposed something. Now, hear me. This is. I just felt this. This is right from God. Do you feel that anointing dropping? We're going to see something today. In his heart, he's purposed something already. So, in a way, it's already finished. The administration of that finished work has to take place. But in his heart, it's purposed. Oh, come on, now get this. Oh my, do you feel this anointing? This is something for us to live with right now. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so what God has done, he has purposed in us something that is already complete. So it's done. We just haven't been worked on yet. And we just come to the master. We say, okay, master, finish the work. But in his heart, we're done. We're complete. That's why we can say, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's not I who live. Because in God, we are already in Christ, complete. He has purposed it, it's done. Because God's not going to change his mind. God's not going to let something come up next week and say, oh, I can't get to that, Tanya, right? Because it could happen. It better not, but it could happen, right? But God's got us in his hand. He's got us in control. He's got us where he wants us. Even if you think you're running from God, he's got you where he wants you. Why? Because he's purposed something in you from the foundations of the earth. It says that we've been predestined before there was an earth to be conformed in the image of the Son. Do you see? We're finished. We're complete. That's why we can cease from sinning. Why? Because it's not us. It's him. But how do we do this? The only way that we do this is resting in him. Ceasing from our own labors. Quit striving. Quit fretting. Quit worrying over your current condition. The more you worry about your current condition, the more you'll stay in your current condition. I mean, if you just sat there and just all the time looked, oh, man, this looks horrible. Oh, my goodness, what have I done? And you never think about what the finished work looks like, it's going to stay that way, right? So we have to realize that we're done. We're finished. We're complete. So if we're complete, then what's going to happen? We're going to respond as a complete vessel. That's why it is no longer I who live. It's no longer you who live. Is this the truth? Amen. And just because Paul said it, he's speaking about a reality for all of us. It's no longer us who lives. He is the only one that gives us breath. Okay, I want to go to another verse because I can see that you're grappling with this even as Christians because we're just not used to thinking this way. And I've used this verse before, but it is so poignant because this is talking about unbelievers, folks. This is talking about people who don't know God, that are worshiping idols. In Acts 17, we'll start at 22 so we get, again, the picture. Acts 17, 22, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things." See, you can let people know that they may not think about worshiping God, but the very fact that they breathe, the very fact that they have life in them says that they exist in God. "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we, them, all of us live and move and have our being, our very existence." So before you were even saved, when God had that purpose in you to be conformed to Jesus, you had your very existence in him. And so now what's happened? Your eyes have been opened. And now you see that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And you have come into that agreement with him that he is your Savior, and that he is your Lord, and that he is your transformer and changer. And you've received the Holy Spirit, and you've received life. But before that, in him you lived and moved and had your being. Your very existence was in him. So how much more so now that we are saved, now that we have received such a great salvation, does he not only let us live and exist in him, he now lives and exists in us in a way that we are no longer the one who lives this life out anymore. Before, we lived and moved and had our own being in him, but now we don't even have to have our own existence here. Oh, what are you saying, Pastor Mike? I'm saying you don't have to do this on your own. You don't have to take control. You don't have to be in charge. You don't have to be the one that keeps yourself from sinning or keeps yourself, you know, in God, or keeps yourself holy, or whatever you want to say. He is the one that does it, and it is finished. We have been crucified with Christ. We're dead. The Mike Lindell that existed before Christ is dead. And sometimes, you know, the very aspect of, you know, characteristic and nature that I had died immediately. I had no desire to do certain things. Now, did other stuff try to raise its ugly head? Yeah, because I had patterns and habits that hadn't been, I guess for lack of a better term, carried through the cross to the place where they died as well. But you don't have to suffer. You have to rest in his suffering. You don't have to strive to quit sinning. You rest in his suffering, and sinning will end. I believe that we can be a sinless people. I know that sounds bold and brash, you know, because we're all just sinners saved by grace. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we were once sinners, but now we're the righteousness of God. We were once alienated, but now we're citizens of a heavenly kingdom. So what we have to do is realize that the truth is the truth, that what God said is real, and that we can rest in the fact that we don't have to do this on our own. We don't have to do this in our own strength. We don't have to try to figure this out ourselves, that he's purposed us to be a finished work. He's purposed us to be conformed to the image of his son. Does that make sense? So we got a couple minutes. Does anybody have anything else that maybe sparked in their hearts while I was sharing? Yes, brother. Can you guys hear him? Because I can't hear him at all. Yeah, I can't hear you, brother.
Yeah, I had a one-on-one meeting with Pastor Mike yesterday, and I had a lot of things going on, like I still do. But, you know, he asked me a specific question, and I didn't have a direct answer. My first answer was, well, I'm Romans 1:16, an unashamed believer. And he said again, who are you? And what he expressed to me was that you are the son of an heir. You can't never forget that. But until you realize whose you are, you're not going to get it. It was real profound. And then he offered me a ride home, and I said no, because I got to go ponder with somebody right now. And, you know, as I explained to the young lady, I'm not trying to throw you under the bus, but, you know, she's going through some things. And I told her, whatever she's going through, he already finished the work. But more importantly, whatever she's going through, I've already been through it, or I'm currently still going through it. You're not alone, you know. And as I pondered on these things last night, you know, I said, God, you know, you're the only one in control. You already made a crooked stick a straight line. Whatever else you have for all of us, your divine plan is going to come through, whether we like it or not. whether we like it or not, it's going to come through. And that's the thing. So therefore, as I told my coworker the other day, I said, you see those mountains up there? I said, what if they started melting? There's nothing we can do about it. And the one thing I seen about 3 weeks ago, Pastor Mike, that hit me kind of hard, wherever it was, there was an earthquake that hit. And in the store, I seen a guy in that store smiling. I said, that's where I want to be. Because, you know, with nothing we can do about it, he started smiling because he knows where he's going.
Amen.
You know? And I just got to go back and find out who I am.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what the Lord had me share with him is that if you don't know who you are, if we don't really realize whose we are, who we are, that our identity is in Christ, that our identity is children of God, sons of God, heirs of the promise, then we won't know truly how to live. And we won't live as we're supposed to live. We won't live as sons. We'll live as people that are somewhat always short of a promise. We'll live as people always groping for the next spiritual high. We'll live as people that are looking for something that we already have. See, that's the sad part. And I'm sure that hurts the heart of the Father, is we constantly look for something that we already have. We're trying to go someplace where we're already at. We're trying to get in a relationship of as intimacy and close that you know, we can only dream about, but we're already there. If we would just take time, be still, and listen to that still small voice, take time and be still and know that he's God, we'll realize that he is so close that the air that we breathe contains him. Amen? Amen. Let's stand for a moment. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. So it kind of makes it sound like this heart issue is kind of the center of why we continue to have all the problems that we have, is that our heart betrays us sometimes. Our heart doesn't stay under the government of the Spirit of God and under the truth and the reality of who we are. So again, would you do me an honor and just put your hand on your heart, and we're just going to speak to our hearts for a moment. We're going to do like what David did, where he said, "And break forth into joy, O my soul." He spoke to his being, and he let his being know who he served. So just repeat after me. It's going to sound weird. Heart, I just speak to you right now. You're a child of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You have a divine destiny. Be still. Stop fretting. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is your protector. He's your rear guard. He's giving you everything that you need for this life and your godly life. Receive grace right now. Receive the comfort right now. Come under the authority of the Holy Spirit. Come under the authority of my Spirit. Listen. Be still. And know that he is God. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, now you get to really go out in the heat. So love you guys. Any more reminders? Any more? Stay cool. That's a good reminder. And love you. Have a great day. And we will see you soon. Just a second. I've got some big news. Jesse just said, praise the Lord, Weather Underground reports that there's zero chance of snow. Wow. That Weather Underground really's got it.